Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Some have called him the last great composer. Today we bring you Brahms' Second Symphony. This is part of our Summer with the Symphony series with highlights from the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra's 2017-2018 season. We'll bring it to you in its entirety on In the Moment in just a few minutes. But first, for a behind-the-scenes look at what this program meant for the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra and for the audience, here are some thoughts from Maestro Delta David Geyer.
A big piece on the program is Brahms' Second Symphony, and this will actually complete my cycle of Brahms with the South Dakota Symphony. We'll have done all four of his symphonies and all of the concertos as well, the two piano concertos, the violin concerto, the double concerto, as well as the Requiem of Brahms. So we've done a lot of Brahms in the time that I've been here, and it's always a sort of a goal to, you know, we need to survey these great composers. And And like Beethoven, also, you know, I've done all the nine symphonies of Beethoven with the orchestra now, and we're actually starting over this year with the first one that I did with the orchestra, this Beethoven Second Symphony, which we'll do this winter. And that was, it was November of my first season with the orchestra when we did that. So it's this is our bread and butter of what we do, and it's also calisthenics for the orchestra, because playing these composers, whether it's Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, Brahms, this is like calisthenics for us. It's keeping the orchestra in shape. It makes the orchestra better. So it's important for us to keep cycling through this standard repertoire.
What is it for the audience at this point? How do they approach this Brahms piece?
Well, for those who are familiar with classical music, it's the Second Symphony. All the symphonies of Brahms are our staple repertoire and beloved repertoire. And there's a reason for that, because it's beautiful music. Absolutely. You can come not knowing anything about it at all and just thoroughly enjoy, you know, the beautiful, harmonious music that's made on stage, the melodic material, all of that. But, oh my gosh, is it such a rich piece of music, so full of philosophical depth. I'll talk more about that during the pre-concert talk on Saturday evening before the concert. But, you know, there's a reason that this music has such staying power, not in a popular sense. Like, you know, I mean, Brahms was never a pop star, neither was Beethoven or Mozart. But it's culturally very, very significant, relevant, and enriching.
I'm curious how he was received during his life. Where does he fit into? Help me place him in context with when he would have written the Second Symphony, how it would have been received in his lifetime.
Well, so we're talking about the mid-19th century now, after Beethoven. And Beethoven died in 1826, I believe, and he cast a shadow through the rest of the 19th century for every composer. Brahms himself waited to compose a symphony till he was well in his 40s because he was scared to death of Beethoven, right? Because Brahms had a stature as a major up-and-coming composer, had written a lot of works, concertos and whatnot, a couple of serenades, which are sort of prototypical symphonies. And then he came in with his First Symphony and must have been the most vindicating thing in the world, because some critic called it Beethoven's 10th. So, mission accomplished, Johannes Brahms.
What's at stake if he gets it wrong? What's at stake if he gets panned at that point?
Well, it has to do with probably his self-awareness as being a very important composer in the line. That extends all the way back to Bach through Haydn and Mozart and Beethoven. Some commentators have called him the last great composer, which is kind of stunning for us to hear. Again, I'll talk more about that in the pre-concert talk. But there was a kind of a wrapping up of this method of composition that was so tightly woven. Like every, you know, there are kernels of melodic and harmonic information that are given, little tiny kernels that, out of which an entire symphony grows, and it integrates the entire piece so fully. over the course of 45 minutes or so, that it's so intricately woven. And it takes a genius of, you know, maximum capacity in order to accomplish this. And some would say that none have accomplished it since Brahms. Mm. I would take issue with that. There's no question that that Brahms is solidly an heir of Beethoven and within that tradition.
Thank you.
That's Brahms' Symphony No. 2 in D major, Opus 73, performed by the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra in Sioux Falls at the Washington Pavilion. That was recorded live on November 18th. We hope that you're enjoying the Summer with the Symphony series. Tune in to In the Moment on Mondays throughout the summer for highlights from the 2017-2018 season. Here's what's still ahead this summer. Mahler's Symphony No. 10, Beethoven's Second Symphony, Paul Moravec with the Overlook Hotel Suite that is inspired by the book The Shining by Stephen King. We also have a bassoon concerto and Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony all ahead for you on Summer with the Symphony. That's our show for today. We hope that it served you. Thank you so much to all our guests, to Delta David Geyer, to the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. Thanks as well to SDPB, Susan Hansen, Chris Loffrey, and Steve Swemke. From all of us at South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.